And FEAR is, it's an acronym. I don't know if you've ever heard. FEAR is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. It's really an illusion. And so Mary is an example of us to operate out of faith. I wanted to start off by reading just part of the first scripture passage that is in our lesson today, and it's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. And it says, in the sixth month, so Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." So Mary is called to be the mother of God in her innocence and her simple faith. She's a poor 14-year-old girl. So how did she respond? She said yes. Even though she was confused as to what it all meant, she said yes. Even though she was full of fear, she chose faith and said yes. Has anyone out there experienced confusion in their life? A little fear in their life about this or that? Little things, big things? We face it every day. When I was 17 years old, I went to a camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and it was an FCA camp. And over the course of the week, I got introduced to the concept of a quiet time. And I'd never had a certain time of day that I set aside to be with the Lord in a certain place and to pray with Scripture. And so each day, they had us go off by ourselves and pray. And so the first couple of days, it was kind of a novelty. I got my own Bible. I was like, wow, I've never had my own Bible before. Never even really read this thing. So this is kind of cool. And so about the third day in, I started feeling this sense of loneliness and emptiness inside of me. And it felt like that God was really far away. And I couldn't understand, you know, wow, you know, I've got a lot of friends and got this great family and this home life. And, you know, we go to church and I've heard about Jesus, but there was this this emptiness and this void in me. So I remember going to one of the counselors and saying, you know, I feel like I know all about God. I've been taught about him all my life, but I really don't feel like I know Jesus. So what is it I need to do? Do I need to become a nun? Do I need to be a missionary? What do I need to do to really know him? And this Bible, you know, I don't understand it. I felt like I needed to read it and understand every word. And I was really overwhelmed. And so basically, Deborah said to me, Kathy, all you need to do is to say yes. She did take me through some scriptures and explain to me things that were familiar about, you know, the gospel passages of God so loved the world, that he sent Jesus, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't die but have eternal life. And she got to the part about sin and about being separated from God. And that was the first time I had really understood that part. That sin is an attitude of your heart, that it's not just, you know, I thought it was going out in my 17-year-old mind. Well, I don't rob banks. I don't murder people. I'm not a sinner. I didn't really understand that concept. But what happened to me that during that week is that my yes became more full. That what had happened at my baptism and my confirmation, I then we knelt down together, as I remember, and I prayed, and I said yes. I said yes to my Catholic faith, to everything I had believed up until this point, but also to fully surrender to Jesus. And when that happened, the Spirit flooded me, and Jesus became even more real to me. And I didn't really understand what I was doing, just like Mary did when the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You're to be the mother of God." She didn't know. She was scared to death. It says she was greatly troubled. And at that point, I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing, and I don't understand this, but that's what I want in my life. I want Jesus to be more full. When the Holy Spirit, I physically felt the Holy Spirit fill me from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. And my eyes were open to everything in my life that I had been taught in Catholic school. The words of the songs, when I went back to sing in my youth choir, they came alive. The Mass came alive. And it was then that I became a vessel to bring Christ into the world. And just as Mary was a vessel, I couldn't shut up, really, is what happened. I was telling everybody, oh, Christ is alive, and I'm in love with him. I mean, I was just like, it was like I had fallen in love. It was that overwhelming. But it was one step at a time. And then I realized quickly that I knew about this much, and that I had to walk in faith every day, just as Mary did. I wanted to read, when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and we're going to hear more about her next week, but Mary went and stayed with Elizabeth, and when she reached the door and she opened the door, they both had this knowing. They knew that they both had a calling to bring Christ into the world. And it was Elizabeth, through John the Baptist, who was proclaiming and make a way, repent, and Mary, who was to bring the Savior into the world. Mary broke out in song, and this is from the Message Bible, which really puts a spin and a modern spin on the scripture. And it says this, "And Mary said, 'I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, pile them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now." So this was Mary's song of praise. I wanted to sing a song that I love, Holy is His Name, John Michael Talbot, which is the Magnificat, Mary's song set to music. So Mary prophetically proclaimed, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Savior, for he has looked with mercy on my lowliness, and my name will be forever exalted. For the mighty God has done great things for me, and his mercy will reach from age to age. And holy, holy, holy is his name. He has mercy in every generation. He has revealed his power and his glory. He has cast down the mighty in their arrogance, and has lifted up the meek and the lowly. He has come to help his servant Israel. He remembers his promise to our fathers. And holy, holy, holy is his name.
The other passages that we looked at for this lesson, the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and Simeon the prophet told Mary that a sword would pierce her heart. Those of you who are mothers in this room know the joys of motherhood, but you also know the sorrows. Those of you who are spiritual mothers, those of you who are also know that. And I'm very fortunate to have two children. They're grown now. Ashley's 24 and David's 20. And just to be able to raise them in the faith and the joy that of their birth, I just remember a picture in my mind of my son's father crying and holding him and just tears of joy. And but also knowing that as they get older, you know, it's hard to really understand each other. And as you get to be teenagers, and I was just having a conversation, that the kids go on and they have their own lives. And so the letting go, and talk about a role model for letting go and allowing God's will in your children's life. I mean, that is the epitome of surrendering to the will of the Father and just releasing your children, because she went from the Annunciation from the angel Gabriel to watching her dear son be murdered and tortured and dying on a cross, and then the joy again of the resurrection. So if anybody knows what we go through as moms, it's Mary. And for me too,
just being away from my kids, you know, when they leave for college, that's such a heartbreak. And I remember when my daughter moved to New York, I'm like, will I ever see her again? She came back to Atlanta. She's a Buckhead now. That was an answer to prayer. But also going through a divorce and having joint custody of the kids. And I saw them a lot. And then when my son turned 13, he decided to go live with his father. That was very heartbreaking. And I still saw him, but it wasn't the same. And so, but just knowing that the Lord has taken all of that, you know, all of the brokenness, and that He's brought healing, and we can look to Mary, and when we're suffering, and when our children are going through things, and just offer our children to the Lord and ask for her assistance. So. Let's see, I think that's about it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into our groups and talk about what we discovered through our questions and then through our prayer, what the Lord revealed to us. So let's just close in prayer and then you can break up into your groups. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the Blessed Mother, our Mother Mary. Mary, we thank you for your intercession to your Son, that you are always there for us, that you are a calm, quiet presence of strength in our life each and every day. Thank you for your yes. May we model that yes. And that when God calls us to do something, that we won't hesitate, and with faith, we will say, let it be done unto me according to your word. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.